and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Good morning and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio program of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. This morning, again, we are looking at Article 24 of the Belgic Confession, one of the what we call the three forms of unity. It's one of the confessions that we hold to here at Providence Reformed Church. It's a marvelous confession of faith. It's something that you can go online, you can find it on our website. There is at providencercus.com, there is a link there for the confessions of the church of what we believe, and you can find that online. You can click on that link and it'll take you right to the Belgic Confession. So anyway, it's written in 1561, and it addresses many of the main and plain things that we believe as Christians, what the scriptures teach. And this morning we are picking up on what the Holy Spirit does by the hearing of the Word. He makes us and sanctifies us and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we get that from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, the new have come. Behold, all things have become new. And so there is a change. There is a change in the mind. One is no longer totally depraved when they are brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And what being totally depraved means that your mind is held captive to Satan and sin, and you operate basically as the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 2, according to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's your conversation, that's your walk, that's where the unbelieving man dwells, in those three aspects of life. And he's a hater of God. He doesn't want God in any of his thinking. And God, in His mercy, comes and redeems man. And He does, though, by the means of the hearing of the Word of God. That's why it's imperative that you must be in a congregation. There can be no debate about this. You need to be in a congregation that the Word of God is faithfully preached every Lord's Day. You must be under the faithful administration of the Word. If you are not, you will not be growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will remain as a spiritual babe. The Scriptures nowhere teach that we are to remain as infants in the faith. And the infants in the faith will be reflective of what is going on in the worship service of the church that you are in. The Apostle Paul, he addresses this in 1 Corinthians 3, and he calls those who are immature, he calls them spiritual babes. They have come to need milk and not solid food. Those that are spiritual babes, the writer of the Hebrews speaks of in chapter 5, and he says that those are the ones that don't discern between good and evil. They begin calling good evil and evil good. They can't discern because they are not exercising themselves in the Word of truth. They're not being brought up. They're not being instructed. The Apostle Paul calls them babes. They're called infants. They are called those that are tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine, by the cunning craftiness of men who lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 4. We cannot be like that. 2 Peter 3, there is a command there for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must grow in the understanding of the God who has redeemed you through His Son, Jesus Christ. You must grow in the truth. And Jesus said in John 8, it's the truth that sets us free, and we are free. The one who is free is free indeed. And he's free from the bondage of the lies of this world because he understands the truth and he walks therein. And so it is imperative for you, you listener, to be under the faithful proclamation of the Word of God, to be hearing the gospel of grace, what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and then to understand that you have a responsibility now, one who has been brought into the household of faith. We've addressed this before about children who are adopted. When a child is adopted, he comes into the home, and once he's in the home, he takes upon the family name. He is part of the family. He doesn't do things to become part of the family. He does the things that he does because he is part of the family. And when he comes into that family, he has responsibilities and obligations as one who is now a member of the family. He can't just do whatever he wants. There's discipline, there is instruction, and that is given to those who are of that home, of that household. And it's the same as the household of faith. God calls us to live a separate life, that we are to, 2 Corinthians 10, we are to cast down every ideology, every philosophy that stands opposed against the knowledge of our God. We are to cast it down by speaking the truth. And so this is a sanctified life. And the Belgian Confession says that the Holy Spirit sanctifies this man through the hearing of the Word, sets him apart, making him a new man, and notice, causing him to live a new life. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, causing men to walk in a new manner of living. The inside of the cup and dish has been cleansed, and now the outward is being seen that it's clean. And this is what Jesus said, to first wash the inside of the cup and dish, and everything, the rest will follow. And notice what it goes on here, and it says, freeing him from the bondage of sin. Now, what does that mean, that fallen, unregenerate men, women, children, those that are dead in their trespasses and sins, are in bondage to sin?
Everybody's a slave of something. Either a slave of sin, or you're, in a sense, a slave of God. And so, you're right, the old man followed sin. That was their whole life. They spent their whole life committing sins, wanting to commit sins, and live that type of a life. They were in bondage to that sin. The Christian has been delivered from that bondage. Christ has paid the penalty for those, for that sin, and now they are bent towards a life towards God.
So, freeing him, it's Christ who makes us free from that bondage. Sin is what held us captive. But the Bible also tells us that Satan held us captive. Satan and sin. Satan was the taskmaster. Satan is the taskmaster of all those who are not redeemed by Jesus Christ, who are not under the grace of God. They are under the curse of God, and they are held captive. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 that Satan is taking the unbeliever captive to do his will. And the only way that he can be liberated is by God. The only way that he can come to be a new man is by the working of the Holy Spirit, and the instrumentality is the preaching of the gospel. And so, you know, in essence, when the church is faithful in proclaiming the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, you know, whether people like it or not, that's irrelevant. I mean, the minister doesn't have a nose count. The minister is not called to do what he does by the church. The church, if it's faithful, ought to know what the calling of the minister is and require him to fulfill his calling by preaching and teaching the Word, being faithful therein, that we might grow up in the faith, that we might be mature. Paul said, you know, in malice be babes, but in understanding, he said, be mature, be men, grow up. And so the church is to make sure that the ministers are being faithful to their calling. And if the minister isn't faithful and the church isn't faithful, they'll just be, if there are any believers, they will simply be infants. crying and whining, and you know, what do kids do when they don't get their way? You know, they cry and they complain about everything. It's constantly fighting about things. And so we're released from that bondage. Therefore, it is so far from being true that this justifying faith makes men remiss in a pious and holy life that, on the contrary, without it, they would never do anything out of love to God, but only out of self-love or fear of damnation. The catechism, or the confession, is very clear here, isn't it? If you are redeemed by Jesus Christ, you have been raised up spiritually to a new life. And it must be seen. Because as we are, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if you have been raised up to this newness of life, it's going to be seen in your faith towards God. Now, it's not going to be perfect, your works, your life, your faith, everything about the Christian. It's not my perfection. It's the perfection of Jesus Christ that makes us right in the sight of God. But there is a new direction of my life. Again, it's not my personal perfection that makes me right with God or sustains me to be right with God. It's Christ's perfection that makes me right with God. It's Christ's perfection that sustains me before the presence of the Father. Because even the best works of the saints are defiled with sin. That doesn't come. That perfection in the life of the Christian will not come until after this life. But you must be on that road. You must be on the road of being conformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. The Catechism speaks about that. It's impossible that those who have been grafted into Christ Jesus should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. And so, Dan, when it's it speaks about this justifying faith, making men to be zealous, really, to live a pious and holy life, and this is all dependent upon the work of God in their lives. What do you think that some of the evidences of one who has been born of the Spirit would be? You know, coming to worship on the Lord's Day, but what would be their outward activities?
Well, I think by a man's actions or his speech is going to tell a lot of what side of the fence he is. Is he's constantly cursing all the time or whatever, and then you got to wonder, because we know that that's contrary to the Word of God. If they lie, and these little white lies, you know, it won't hurt anybody, or yeah. You know, if they're honest in their speech, I think that's going to show characteristics.
Letting their yes be yes and their no no.
That's exactly right.
Being an honest man, yep. That you can shake hands with the guy, and you know that his word is his honor. He's going to keep his word. Used to be a day like that, and now because we are a ship of fools in this country, we're a bunch of liars, we have to sign a document that's 5 feet tall before we can buy a home, because nobody trusts anybody anymore. And that's simply because men are liars. But the one who is redeemed walks in newness of life. He strives to live for the glory of God, not out of fear of damnation. That has been taken in Jesus Christ. The fear that we have as believers is the filial fear, the fear of offending the God that we love. We desire to please Him. And we know that when we sin, we bring shame to His holy name, and we desire to repent of that. The desire now is that God be glorified. We have the call now as those, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatsoever we do, we desire to do all of those things to the glory of God. We don't do it perfectly. But that desire is there. Even the desire isn't perfect, but it's there. And that is an evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccus.com. There you will find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.